Hello and welcome to another episode of the Echo Chamber, your mid-Twitter gaming podcast, where you come to hear two blokes talking nonsense about stuff, sometimes loosely related to gaming. Hello, hello, Jamie, hello.
Hello again.
Oh, Jamie, how are things?
Things are good, things are good. I mean, I'm going to be super honest with you, I'm sitting here stinking like a stuck pig.
All right, but yeah. I do you know what? You are sitting there, but you are looking gorgeous. And I'm really appreciating the original Batman t-shirt, because I had that t-shirt for about 25 years until like last year when my wife made me get rid of it. And it's very upsetting. So I'm really appreciating seeing it, especially on your Adonis-esque body.
I thought this is one of two. This is the elderly one that my grandma bought me.
It's such an iconic t-shirt.
It really is. It's nothing like doing your workout while you're wearing it. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't know what it is, it's the original Batman symbol from the first Batman movie, the Tim Burton, Michael Keaton. God, what was it? Mid-80s, probably.
Mm.
The soundtrack was entirely by Prince, and it was amazing. If you've not seen it, what have you been doing? It's a fantastic movie. It's eminently quotable. It's not quite canon in terms of its Batman story, but it is an excellent movie nonetheless.
Yeah, it's not as camp as Adam West, but
it definitely skirts the campness.
It does. There's a degree of campness that it exudes from his chest. It's lovely.
This is fantastic. My brother, who's autistic, talks in certain phrases that he learnt mostly through TV and movies. And one of the phrases he learns is a very short line that the Joker gives about how ridiculous and uptight Gotham City is. And so in my like formative years growing up, I would occasionally hear my brother go, "This town needs an enema." Oh dear! All of these memories being brought back by just looking at the lovely insignia on your chest, Jamie.
Just looking at my chest.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I've got a reason to look at your chest. Oh dear. So, so much has happened. So much has happened since we last podded. Mostly in my life and privately. I mean, it's not really something we need to talk about, but I've moved house. So we're filming this. Well, we're recording this in the new Echo Chamber studio, which is at the moment my 7-month-old's bedroom.
I do like the changing station behind you.
Yeah. And the cot there it is. Looking quite threadbare at the moment, but we got you and the sheep. Joining me, and because the house is actually quite big now, I've got three children in the house, but I can't hear a thing. So I've got these internal, like, security cameras. I've got one, and so I'm able to actually, whilst we're here, look directly at my two boys who are downstairs, and I know that my other girl is upstairs in her room doing stuff. So we may be interrupted by various children, but who cares? What do we pod about again? Oh, games.
Yeah. It's been so long. I don't remember what we last talked about. Gaming wise, I don't know about you, but in the last month, there has been some delicious games come out.
Yeah, so tell us about them, because I've not been, because of the move and everything, I've really had my finger very firmly removed from the pulse.
Well, the one I was most excited for now was Baldur's Gate 3. Do you know what that is?
I don't, but I've heard it mentioned, but I don't know much about it.
Have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
No, and you will know this well, because I've actually recently tried to get into Dungeons & Dragons, and I was getting you and... To help me figure out my character, and I created a character that was all over the place.
It was you made the weakest character I think I've ever seen. Willingly.
Because I have no idea what I'm doing. I think I had various attributes that didn't really go together at all, and so kind of my whole score was brought down. because I honestly don't know what I'm doing. But yes, so it's a Dungeons and Dragonsy thing, is it?
So it is a Dungeons and Dragonsy thing, and it's based because in the Dungeons and Dragons world, and there is a place in the Dungeons and Dragons world called Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
Where the name comes off, and it's the third one in the series. This one, I don't really want to spoil it because there's quite a lot of choice, and depending on what you do and how you do it, but in a nutshell, it's you design your character,
all right,
all the way through from head to toe,
okay,
and including genitals if you so wish.
Okay.
There's, you know, I to be honest, I actually love it. I love the idea that if you wanted to make someone exactly how you are or however you want, you can. I love that, and I think that's my favorite thing in any game.
Okay.
Anyway, so you make your character and it's all quite complicated, and you find yourself on this effectively a ship
that all right.
crashes, and just before it crashes, one of the creatures inserts a parasite into your brain.
Okay.
And the whole premise is get the thing out of your brain. But then as you go along, you come across people who join you. But if you don't want them to join you, you can kill them. There's so much choice in this game. And it's so much... It's a shame you haven't played Dungeons and Dragons. In Dungeons and Dragons, it's like, you're the character. You tell me what you want to do. And if you say, I want to jump out the window, that's fine. And you would roll the dice, and I would sort of decide if you succeed or not. And then if you do, then... great. And if you don't, I can decide, no, you bump into the window and you rebound back.
I see.
And it's kind of like that, and you can choose to do all this strange stuff, like jump off, you know, you can try and seduce someone and it goes horribly wrong. It's so much choice, and it's amazing.
I understand kind of the premise of Dungeons & Dragons. It's like a turn-based adventure, and you choose what you want to do, and depending on what your choice is, you roll dice, and the dice basically determine if you're successful, unsuccessful, yes, or a third or fourth option.
Yeah.
And depending on what happens, then you're kind of beholden to the circumstances of that, and then you have to move on.
Yeah. From that. And you can choose, like, there's different types of classes, which, I mean, we're all quite related. You know, we know about like barbarian and druid and all that stuff. And each one you can level up, and it's an amazing game. I can't express how much choice there is in this game. Like, you can, there are some people who've figured out that if you get lots of boxes that you put in your pocket and you can stack them up, and then you can climb up onto the boxes and then jump onto bits of the game that they haven't allowed you to go to, but you could get jump over it anyway. And the people who designed it are like, yeah, that's fine, you crack on.
Well, you see, I love that kind of thing. They're kind of, I'm trying to get a bit more into it, because I've always been more of the linear story person.
Yeah, you love a story, don't you?
I do love a story, but I think certain games have got me away from that a little bit more, a bit like Red Dead Redemption, which does very much have a linear story running through it, but actually the way you play it, the choices you make inform that, whereas there are these other games that I'm kind of getting a bit more into now, where really you decide what the story is. And I think the first experience I had that properly was with Fallout New Vegas. Because I had this game given to me, and I had no real idea. I was never into like Fallout and stuff. And then I played this game, and I realized basically halfway through it, when I was looking to advance the story, that actually I was writing the story of the game by deciding where to go and what to do and what allegiances to make and so on.
Yeah.
And it became a very different experience after that. Figured it out.
It's like, because you feel like, I remember when I was younger, I was a bit like, oh no, did I do the wrong choice? And then you reload back what you've just done.
Yeah.
Which is really tempting, I'm not going to lie. But I'm just letting it ride at the moment and just going through the motions and accepting what I've done.
I think for me, part of my psychology didn't like that. Didn't like making like bad decisions. But certain games have kind of eased me into that a bit more.
I think Fallout 3 did one of the worst ones for me. Was it 3 or no, it was 3, where you basically had a choice: either blow up Megaton or let the zombies take it over or something like that.
Right.
Actually, was that? You had a choice. Those two choices. So it was either you destroy everyone or kill everyone else. It was. Yeah. There was nothing in between. And it was like, and that was one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just make the decision, which is quite slightly freeing, but it was.
It is freeing, but it's also a bit confronting as well.
It is, very much so.
Okay, I mean, that sounds awesome, right? So I think Baldur's Gate, if you're especially into. Do you know what? We need to do at some point a D&D special, really.
Oh,
with,
I would.
With Joe, because I think Joe's big into his
Joe D&D is big well. into their so they into their Dungeons and Dragons.
They'll enjoy coming on, I'm sure, at some point. And I think it'll be very much in the genre of pod of the Pokemon podcast, where basically you guys can talk, you people can talk about how awesome it is, and I can just be there infuriating you with
You young people can do the talking while he sits in the corner making outrageous comments.
Terrible comments. Except my knowledge of Dungeons and Dragons is probably less than my knowledge of Pokemon, which is really saying something, I think. Which is crazy, because it's exactly the kind of stuff that I would have liked as a kid, do you know what it is? I didn't have any friends that I knew of that at the time growing up that did it as well, and I could introduce you to it, and so you can kind of grow and learn together. So I never had that, and I think I've kind of really missed out now, because I wish I had more nerd friends as a kid.
Yeah, I know. I wish the same, because I was the same. My friends were nerdy, but not in the point they did fun things, in the fact that they just sat and did nothing.
Nerdy about other things. I think a lot of my friends are really nerdy about like music and stuff, which is fantastic. I like music, but I was never a music nerd, and I didn't really care too much about it anyway.
An orc with
exactly,
music.
Exactly.
Well, in Dungeons and Dragons you can, but that's another story.
All right, roll d20, 16 and above, you get to remove 16. Their bodice.
Yeah, honestly, so this is slightly aside, but in Baldur's Gate, there was a bit, because there's quite a lot of talking. There's like, they've done really well with the voiceover work. But at one point, I'll be honest, I was skipping it. I was skipping them talking. But I accidentally kept clicking the first option, and then before I knew it, I was sleeping with one of the... Which is kind of like an orc, and I was like, oh, what have I done here? And she was like, oh my god, she's naked, what's going on? I've been skipping so much, and I've accidentally seduced someone.
Oh, we're all God's children in the dark, Jamie. You know? You know, all you're doing is borrowing a little bit of friction from a stranger. That's fine.
Oh dear.
Oh my word. Yeah,
as I said,
okay.
I just rolled with it. I was like, well, I've done it now.
Oh, yeah. Choices have consequences.
Choices have been made. I'm not going to.
You know, that's why they. You roll the dice, and that's what you get. Oh, God. Oh, so what else has been coming out? Because I'm pretty sure there's been a lot of buzz recently about a particular game, which I was going to let you talk about, because beyond the buzz, I don't know anything about this. It looks awesome from like the stills I've seen, and I'm assuming it looks great because everyone seems to be going on about it. But tell us about this other game.
Which one do you mean? Do you mean Starfield?
Of course, I mean Starfield. All I really know is that it's called Starfield and it looks awesome. But beyond that, I don't know anything about it.
So Starfield is, well, you kind of feel like it's, you want it to be Skyrim in space. Because it's Bethesda, but as I don't know if you know, but Bethesda got bought by Microsoft, so it's only on Microsoft. So you can only play it on Xbox, or you can play it on PC. So I have downloaded it on Steam, just so I can play it. What I'm seeing from the reviews, so it's good.
Okay.
But I think the RPG elements are quite good, but people sometimes are finding some of the exploration side of it a little lackluster, especially if you were thinking it's going to be like No Man's Sky.
Yeah, you see, I was just about to say, I'm getting a bit of a No Man's Sky vibe here now. So there's a huge amount of hype, and then it's not quite living up to expectations.
I think it's worth a go. I think I've literally only just started. I'll be honest, I've just finished making the character.
All right.
Interestingly enough, this is another thing that was a bit of a people were whinging about. It gives you the option, which is quite nice, is choosing your pronouns.
All right. Oh, yes, I saw some nonsense.
Did you see this?
About that.
Oh, my God.
Immediately, I was like, I deleted it straight away. I was like, why? What's wrong with you?
Honestly. It's like, if you want something to be customizable, fully customizable, yeah. What's wrong with... You know what I mean? It's just...
It's what it is, right? I think a lot of it is this... desire for victimhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a load of people out there who really, from their just their background, obviously just the accident of birth, they've been born with privileges that just come from their gender, their race, their religion, or whatever it is from where they're born. And then what they see is people outside of that existing. And that threatens them for some reason. That other people exist that aren't particularly, you know, cisgender, yeah, or of their race or their religion or whatever it could be. And they get, and they see that there is genuine victimhood in a lot of these protected characteristics, but they don't get anything. So they don't get any sympathy for being who they are. And they go, well, my life is hard as well. So therefore, I'm also a victim. So I will look to victimize myself, create a victimhood.
But it just annoys me so much. Like, one of the first things you learn in language is pronouns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He does, he, you know, all of that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Why? And like, people are like, oh, pronoun. As soon as you say the word pronouns, they rage.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And it's the tiniest little tweak. It's literally the click of a button. And if you didn't want to, you don't have to do it. So you could just ignore it. What was wrong with people?
The problem is choice, Jamie. Too much choice.
Oh
God.
Honestly.
Choice, but then there's too much choice. Oh, yeah. Oh, but beyond that, So you took an age to make your character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been on it for like... well, and over an hour trying to make my person, and he looks ish like me. I can never quite do it right. It's always in the nose. If you can get right, you've nailed it. But I've not nailed the nose.
No, it's not that classic aquiline look.
No.
Yeah. And they just can't get the pecs round enough. I think that's the...
Oh no, they're just not. They're just, and yeah, it's just not smooth enough as well.
Exactly, and the t-shirts are never tight enough. That's it.
No, he's in a space suit. I'd be rocking something far tighter than that.
Exactly. You want one of the classic like 60s and 70s.
Yeah, just a fishbowl on my head.
Yeah, fishbowl on your head and all like skin
and then
tight.
And then possibly a bit too much leg.
A bit too much leg. Yeah, giant cod piece.
Yeah, just huge codpiece. it is good so far though. I mean, all it is for now, I'm just you're a miner on an asteroid at the moment, and then I've gone to find something, a thing, and then as I reach for that thing, I forget who I am.
Ooh, I mean that is very No Man's Sky, actually, isn't it?
It is actually. I mean, it is. But I think there's loads of different planets to explore and loads of different factions to join. There's loads of stuff. And I think it'll be like, there was another game, and I've forgotten the name now completely. Star Citizen. I think I may have told you about it, where it's almost like a simulator of being in space, but it was almost too real to the point where it's not very fun.
All right.
Like, you know, you have to carefully drive your ship out, but if you clip it on the side, you'll crash the ship and everything will explode and you lose everything. And this is sort of what I wanted that to be.
Okay.
So I'm liking it so far, but I've already decided I'm going to be a combat medic because that's my entire personality.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think we'll probably have to do another session just talking about this game to at least deep dive into it when you've played it a little bit more.
Yeah.
What have I been doing gaming-wise? Well, because I've been moving house and everything, I started playing Witcher 3, which I mentioned last time.
Yes, you did.
Which is really good. I think the thing that's disappointed me a little bit about it is I'm not enjoying the fighting dynamics very much, but I don't think I've gone far enough in it where I've learned enough of the moves and stuff. And because I'm kind of going in and out of it quite a lot, the continuity is not there, and I'm not really getting used to the way the game plays. So that's probably a bit on me more than anything else. But
I loved Witcher 3. Loved it.
Everyone seems to love it, and that's part of the reason why I got it. I'm really intrigued with the story. I'm really enjoying that. It's a completely different kind of story and world that's being built up, and I can see it's really well made, and there's loads of details in it which I'm really appreciating.
I think one of the bits I loved is how each side quest, even if it's just you just wander over and there's some woman shouting help, there's actually quite a deep backstory of
The lore is really good, and it's not because I found like in Skyrim some of the stuff that was done, you know, you'd be going along on a thing and then all of a sudden you'd be asked to go and pick some flowers, and then you go and pick some flowers and then that's it, and there wasn't really much reason. It was kind of like busy work in the game, which is great because it gave you the experience and some resources and things like that, but it just felt unnecessary, really. So you spent a lot of hours doing unnecessary stuff. Whereas in this, you always get a little bit of something back. You learn a little bit more about the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm really enjoying that, but I've only scratched the surface of it because I'm not really having the time to sit down and play games for the duration I would like to.
Because, I'm not really surprised.
Yeah. With the house move and the stuff, you know, like one of the things I discovered last night was the toilet in our ensuite is leaking, and it's leaking because it was really badly installed. And I found this out at 11:30 last night, exactly when you want to find out when you're working at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's that. Immediately after this, the thing to look forward to is I'm going to be like elbow deep in feculent liquid. So that's, I'm going to be fixing that.
It's a hell of a side quest IRL, that.
It really is. So that's the thing. These kinds of things, right, are really cutting into my gaming time, and I don't think I'll ever forgive the person I bought this house off for all of the little DIY mishaps I'm constantly having to repair. But anyway, I digress. But what I did want to talk about a little bit beyond Witcher, the other couple of games that I've kind of downloaded and started playing with both by myself but also with my kids. The one I've been playing with my kids in particular, I think I mentioned this to you off the pod, but I don't know if I've mentioned it at all on it, is a game called The Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard of this?
I played it as well.
Did you play it? It's so silly, but it's amazing. It's called The Untitled Goose Game, and it's by House, which I think is a independent developer, and it was published by Panic. And when was it released? Like 2019, so it's not an old game.
Wasn't it during COVID?
I think it's just before COVID, September 2019. But how like during COVID it would be an excellent game to play.
It was very memeable.
It's very memeable. Basically, you were a goose in an English village, and the whole point of the game is to essentially like irritate the inhabitants of this village. And I downloaded it and started playing it, and within about 5 minutes or so, I was like, "No, I need to get my kids into this."
It's co-op, isn't it? Now
it's co-op. Yeah, there's a two-player co-op version where you're basically two geese. And you just waddle around this village. It's very cartoony, but it's quite, and the controls are relatively intuitive, and it kind of teaches you very quickly through a very short tutorial what to do. And essentially all you do is like you quack, you grab things with your beak, you can duck, you can swim on the pond and things like this. And the whole time is all you're doing is essentially just irritating people. So one of the first things you've got to do is have a picnic. There's a picnic rug next to the river that you live on, the little wetland area. And you have to steal the gardener's sandwich. You have to go get the radio and put it next to the blanket. And it's just stuff like that the whole way through. But it's really nicely made. And it because it's co-op and because it's so silly, and because you're just irritating all these like NPCs, it's just a lot of fun. And the kids really, really liked it. And you play all the way through, and then and it's only at the very end you realize what the goal of the thing is. The goal is essentially to make it all the way through this little village, and through the pub, through the back gardens, through like little market, and you make it to the model village in the center of the village, and get to the model village. And in the model village, there is a model of the church, and then you knock down the church and you collect the golden bell that's in the church. And then you take the bell all the way back to the very beginning of the game. And then you see at the very beginning, which you don't see when you first start, but like literally all the way back to where your little nesting area is like dozens and dozens of these bells. Because obviously you just are a couple of absolute miscreant geese. And there is no point to it whatsoever. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's a lot of silliness.
I love the idea. I just love that idea. I love the idea that... For the goose, that is a reason. He needed bells, and he wanted the bells, so he got some.
I wanted the bells. I want the bells.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, and so yeah, you play just... it one player, but it's so much better played as a co-op.
It must be so funny co-op.
Like, you know, you do silly things, like you need to get... you pull a stool out from underneath someone who's about to sit down to make them fall over, because when they fall over, it calls someone across to try and help them get back up again. And whilst they're doing that, they've left the gate unguarded, so you can run through the gate and cause some more mayhem on the other side. It's a lot of fun, and it's very genteel, and it's very easy to jump in and out. It is really sweet, and the kids loved it. So that's definitely one I could recommend.
I played... My brother really likes Fall Guys. Have you played that?
No, but I think it's another one I've downloaded. I think Isaac might have started this. Is this the one where you're almost like a stick man?
It's like a game show. And imagine like Takeshi's Castle type of thing.
All right, okay.
You kind of are like a stick man. You're like a big... blob with arms and legs, and you just have
I think,
it's a knockout, maybe a bit like knockout.
I think I've seen Isaac playing this, so I won't need to get him on to talk about it, but it looks like a lot of fun. But tell us about it.
It's basically, as I said, it's like It's a Knockout. So you start off with about 100 people, and you all have to get to the end of this obstacle course. But the obstacle course is insane, and it has like giant hammers that hit you off, and you just sort of fall off, and it's silly. It's so silly, and you know they make silly noises when they fall over, and it's actually really hard to finish. But playing with my brother is really quite fun, because the two of them are working as a team, and we have to get there as a team. And you have to climb over obstacles, and there's another one where you have to collect a certain number of things, and whoever's got the lowest gets fired out of a cannon and you lose. It's a bit like a battle royale, but a game show,
right?
Or It's a Knockout, and it's so silly, and it's not, that's about it premise wise that's it. And you just try and win, but it's a lovely game, and it's funny, and It's a Knockout, and I've enjoyed playing that with my brother quite a lot.
I do like, there is definitely a place for games like that. And I think one of the things I'm learning as I'm getting older is I always really liked like the proper adult games, you know, Peggy 15, Peggy 18. I love those, because they've got great stories, and they often do, you know, they're really well made. You know, you got your things like God of War and stuff like this, Red Dead Redemption, and Call of Duty. excellent, I mean, brilliantly made, huge megabucks games. But there's always a place for these little independent small games that are just fun. And I'm going to have to play Fall Guys because I have definitely got it downloaded, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you'd probably enjoy it. Even just watching Isaac play is really funny.
That's my only experience with the game so far is watching Isaac play it. And it did look like a lot of fun. And he was having a great time.
It's so silly.
The other one I did play and I finished a couple of months ago now was this really strange game that I came across. I think it was one of the free ones on the monthly PlayStation Network monthly games. It may have been that, or I might have just found it. I can't remember. It's called I Am Dead. And have you heard of this game?
No, don't know it.
So it's a really interesting kind of gaming experience. It's a it's a single player game, and essentially what you do is you start off as this kind of older, probably like mid 60s guy who used to be the curator of a museum on an island, a fictional island, and you are on a beach, and you are dead. You basically starts off and the narration talks about how you've died, and you know, you're just looking back on your life now. And then what happens is you get reunited with a spirit. I think the spirit is of your late dog that died maybe like a year before you or a couple of years before you. And mm-hmm. the spirit then guides you through, because it's a volcanic island you're on, and is trying to get you to find another spirit to take over the spirit of the volcano, to stop the volcano potentially from erupting. Because for whatever reason, the spirit of the volcano that's there isn't controlling the eruptions anymore. And all you do throughout this game is you go through various scenes, and the whole point of the game is to look through the scenes as a ghost and find certain objects, and each of the objects are connected to a memory. And mm-hmm. then you can like and because you're a ghost, you can like search through things. So like you can find a cabinet and you like search through the cabinet. Mm-hmm. And even if you find in the cabinet, you find a box, and in the box you then search through the box, and you might find a little trinket, and that trinket has significance to the memory of the people that are in that scene. And then you listen to the memories of these people, and they're always talking about the memories they have about people who just recently died, or they were on this island, or whatever it is, because you're looking for the spirits of these people who have now died, who used to be on this island, and hopefully get them to and encourage them to take over being the guardian spirit of the island. It's a weird premise, but it's a really sweet. It's a really sweet game, and it's all done. It's all voiceovers, so it's not just text. It's people speaking, and they're telling you the story of their memories about these people and what they did and how they remembered them. And it's I've never played anything quite like it. And it was another one which you could play, and you keep your heart rate low throughout. It's quite a cozy game. It's really comforting, even though it's talking about death and the afterlife. Some really heavy stuff is being talked about, but it's being talked about in a really honest, but not in a mournful way, in a almost like a celebration of memory, I guess, and memorializing it. And the guy being the curator of a museum is a nice kind of allegory for all of it, because of course he was just constantly collecting little bits about the island.
Memories.
And it's I won't spoil it, because it's a short game. You can probably complete it in a 3 or 4 hours at a leisurely pace. But it's definitely one I would recommend for at least a unique gaming experience. And again, the art of it is very unique and very simple, but quite enjoyable. And there are some like difficult bits. It's very much a puzzler, really.
Yeah.
Rather than anything else. But the whole journey through that island world as a ghost is very, very interesting. Indeed.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, it's a very, like I said, I've never played anything quite like it, but I very much enjoyed it. And you can sink a lot more into it, because obviously there'll be side missions where you find more and more of these little other bits and pieces, but you can get through like the main story pretty quickly. And the last one I want to mention is the one that I've been playing most recently, which is, I think, is a function of me and my state of mind, you know, moving house with four children and still being working full time. And it's one called the Lawn Mower Simulator. Lawn Mower? Lawn Mowing Simulator.
Yeah. I've heard, I'll be honest, I've heard very good things about these type of games.
Yeah. Lawn Mowing Simulator, right? It's a very complex game. No, it's incredibly I think they made it more complicated to keep it engaging.
Yeah.
But really, what I do it for is for the exact same reason that I like mowing the lawn, which is it's essentially kind of meditative.
I saw there's another game that it sounds right up your alley, which is, I think it's Power Hose Simulator. Have you heard of that one?
Yes. I didn't even know that. Like, definitely.
Yes, that would be so satisfying.
It is that thing. So Lawn Mowing Simulator is exactly what it says. Essentially, you start off, you set up your like landscaping business. I think I'm called Bod's Bushes. You make your character. Unlike Starfield, it took me approximately 45 seconds to do it because the options aren't overly varied. You design your uniform. You have a certain amount of money to start off your business, and then you buy a strimmer and a ride-on lawnmower, and then you get contracts. The contracts are like these, like lovely English, like old English gardens. The ones I've really enjoyed recently are, because it comes with the DLC, because it's quite an old game now, I think. Is it quite old? Am I just talking nonsense? It's 2021, so it's nowhere near that old. The DLC is available. I think it's in the monthly, one of the monthly downloads, and it's the Dino Park. So it's a dinosaur park, you know, with all these like animatronic dinosaurs going on, and it is exactly what you think it is. It is, you are given a contract, the grass is out of control, you got to mow the lawn, and it's in real time. I spent about an hour and a half mowing this park's lawns, and honestly, I had a great time. I was listening to the radio at the same time, you know, listening to other podcasts. I was lit on my little ride on lawnmower. It got full. I drove it to the thing. I emptied the grass. I went back on it. Oh, it's running a bit running out of fuel. Let's top the fuel off. Oh, I need to go. It's a bit more intricate. Get the strimmer out. Strimming around the legs of the dinosaur. Honestly, what are you talking about? It's like a colossal waste of time. And yet, it was amazing.
It sounds so mindful. It sounds wonderful.
Honestly, it was fantastic. And, you know, I did all of this without ever having to leave the couch. It was...
The only thing that's really bothering me about this is my lawn looks terrible at the moment. And you're doing it for free.
I was just thinking, why can't we do a remote lawn mowing service? You know, you get these robot lawnmowers now. I think the technology is probably there where you can say, well, we'll drone in a mower, and then we'll get someone with a PlayStation controller just sitting there idly by, you know, just checking the edges. There is a gaming aspect. You get penalties for just doing things wrong, and like, you know, you can't smash your lawnmower around. You know, you can't be driving around like a nutcase at 6 miles an hour up these giant, these historical sites and things like that. But yeah, honestly, there is nothing more to say about Lawn Mowing Simulator.
That, I mean, it's
exactly
it sounds glorious. It sounds glorious. Because, I mean, I know for a fact one of the top games on Steam most of the time is Farming Simulator.
Well, there we are.
I've never played it, but I've heard someone talking about it at work. Yeah. And he was like, I've just discovered vineyard farming and it's the most joyous thing I've ever done.
Well, I think it just goes to show that actually that there is a lot of because it's almost like there are certain games, right, get you into like a flow state, you know. Some people talk about that a lot, especially like those really like high octane, really super fast fighting games and stuff, the people who do like competitive gaming. They get into a flow state where they already know the control. They don't consciously think about it anymore. And it's almost like they've entered the matrix, you know. But there's definitely something to be said about the other end of gaming, which gets you into that kind of meditative state. Because sometimes, you know, when I've been thinking a mile a minute, you know, coming home from work, I don't want to like make decisions as to whether I want to destroy a city or let the zombies take over.
No.
Sometimes I just want to mow a nice lawn or sow my crops. You know, I want to do that, and I should be allowed to do that. Damn it!
Honestly, the fact my lawn is so bad makes me so upset. I'm really tempted. If you ever really said, "Come down here and do my lawn," it's huge.
Mate, I'm such a... I know people throw this around, like, you know, neurodiversity and all this. I'm so... Honestly, certain aspects of my personality are so atypical. I honestly would. I would go to a gathering, all right, and if someone said, do you know what, like, whilst you're here, do you mind just mowing the lawn? I would have a great time. Just go mow the lawn. In IRL, as they say, spend 3 hours doing that. Maybe a couple of times someone comes and gives me a beverage or something. Mm. And then I would leave that and go, that was a great party. I had a great time.
I had such a lovely time.
It was fantastic. I was there, technically. I got something done. I achieved something. And I didn't have to talk to anyone. Marvellous.
I mean, that is pretty marvellous.
Oh dear. Oh my goodness.
I think I'm gonna have to mow the lawn this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, was it Storm Agnes is on its way? Is it Agnes? Storm
Agnes is hitting us now.
Is it? Oh my god. It's not gonna be long then for us. Mm. Oh, I better go and batten down the hatches then. We'll knock this on the head, Jamie.
No, well, it's been fun and I'm glad we've been managed to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't make any promises, but we'll try and do it more regularly in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.